Through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Ah, morena, Tim.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's very good. Level one.
It's yeah.
All happening.
Sunny day for level one. Well, it's, it was yesterday, but yeah.
Great to be alive. I was pretty bummed to hear that weather report, actually.
Rain's rolling through.
Yeah, we're going to get the wet right when we should be partying outside with each other. But I guess
but
tis the season.
But we need the water.
Yes, this is also true. Can't go wrong then, really,
no,
can you?
It's perfect.
It's good all round. Hey, what are we talking about this morning on Media Bat?
Two little morsels for you today. The first is that it's election year.
It is.
And that means that government gives itself effectively money to campaign. They give it to all the parties. And there's
yes.
a coalition of minor parties who are very upset about how the Electoral Commission has applied the public funding, how they've divvied it up this year.
Okay.
So I was desperately yesterday trying to figure out all the rules in this so I could come in well-armed for this story. As far as I can tell...
Parliamentary politics expert overnight.
I welcome someone correcting me on this, but I think the political parties, once we reach... I think it's called Right Day, W-R-I-T. It's like mm-hmm. a legal thing, which is in about a week. You can only use campaign funds if you're a political party given to you by the Electoral Commission for your advertising.
Right, okay.
However, the legislation only talks about TV and radio. So I wonder what the deal is with...
Online
stuff. And also they say that you can use your own money for the production of mm-hmm. those ads. So like if you want to do a big flash TV ad, the production costs of that ad doesn't come into it, but the spend on placing those ads
okay.
on whatever channel you want, that's what it comes
down
to.
That's where the money okay, comes
so
down to.
So we're talking about a prize pool of $4 million and Labor and National, they get collectively $2.5 million of that. And everyone else gets the remaining 1.5 million.
So how is it divvied up?
Yeah.
How do they like decide?
Yeah. So, good frickin' question. It's so opaque. I was looking through all the articles reporting on this and no one knew. So then I had to like delve into the Electoral Commission's website and bits of legislation and stuff. There are six criteria that determine it, but the short, they're like kind of technical.
Yeah, yeah,
but the
yeah.
shorthand is it's based on a combination of the number of people who voted for that party at the last election or any subsequent by-elections, the number of people, or the number of members of parliament they have
okay.
already. So that already you can see will give a real incumbency bias that if you're
yeah,
already
yeah.
sitting in parliament,
you've
get this massive treasure trove.
Mm.
And also added to that calculation is any indication of public support for that political party, which can include results of public opinion polls.
So
and
hang on,
numbers
if you,
of people who are members of the political party.
Right. Wow, that's such a random... That's not what I exactly would have thought. Maybe the polls is, I think, the bit that's surprising to me. The rest, I'm like, I'm not sure if I agree with it, but it does kind of make sense in some ways. But the polls is really weird.
There also doesn't appear to be a published formula for how it's divvied up. So it sounds like the Electoral Commission take into consideration those factors, and those are the only factors they can take in, and then make a determination. But what that
Wild.
Means is that, for example, so once again, Labor and National getting put together $2.5 million. The Māori Party gets $145,000. So a lot lower. The New Conservative Party and Aotearoa legalised cannabis, they get $62,000 each.
Right.
So it's not a lot.
No.
So they've signed a joint letter, a lot of those minor parties. Interestingly, excluding TOP, the Opportunities Party, they didn't co-sign that letter. They were like the only minor party who didn't
Kind of seems
dive
to be
in.
There fitting with their values, maybe.
I know.
Yeah.
They made, I think Jeff Simmons, the leader, made a separate statement saying that, like, in principle, there is a huge bias towards the incumbent parties in Parliament for getting funding, and it's kind of stopping smaller parties getting in. And this seems very technical and boring on the face of it, and maybe it is, but...
It's important.
It is important, and our system really does have quite a big hurdle to get over if you're a smaller party to enter Parliament. A lot of people, and I'd probably include myself in that, think that the 5% threshold to get into Parliament is a bit too high.
Yeah.
So it's when you add all this stuff together.
I think it also kind of starts to make sense when you see what parties might not reach the 5% threshold in any given election year. And I think people then go, but they have a lot of support, or they seem to have a lot of support. Why is that? So yeah, that's definitely a conversation that we probably should be having on a bigger level.
Absolutely.
As well.
It comes up every election year and then people will kind of forget about it and it falls to the wayside. But yeah, 5% is such a huge hurdle of the vote to be able to get into the parliament. Now, the other bit of news is more international and continuing with what we should all, I think, be paying close attention to is Black Lives Matter, is that the New York Times in the last week published an op-ed by a conservative senator named Tom Cotton, who I think is a representative from Arkansas, from memory, which was titled Send in the Troops, which was arguing for the US president, for Trump, to use the Insurrection Act to deploy the military against Americans who are protesting. Who were protesting police brutality and systemic racism, by the way. So probably the best way to do that is not send in armed military to deal with it. Over 800 staff at the New York Times wrote a letter of protest, and consequently the editor of the editorial page has quit off the back of it. There was a lot of, they've had to apologise a lot and take stock of the processes that meant that that editorial got published in the first place, because there was just plain factual inaccuracies in the piece that were not vetted. And it was, in addition to being untrue, a real frickin' unuseful and arsehole-y bit of op-ed to be publishing at the moment.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I definitely would.
And just to kind of centre this sort of conversation that's happening internationally, particularly centred in America, back to Aotearoa, because, of course, we are not immune from this. I wanted to play a bit of audio that happened just a couple of days ago on TVNZ Breakfast, and this is Jenny Mae Clarkson talking about her family and her experiences being a brown person in New Zealand.
Took me back to, you know, my father and him naming all of us. He refused to name any of us Māori, because how his name was said, was used, was made fun of as he was growing up. And so he said, I'm not naming any of my children their Māori names. So we've all got Māori names, but as middle names. And for me as a mother, and seeing that pain, I refuse not to name my children Māori names, because that is their birthright. And this is part of the revolution, I guess, is they have their names and they will feel strong about their names because they know where they come from and they can explain that to people where those names come from. But we're all part of the revolution. The conversations that we have here in New Zealand with our children, how we discuss things like race, we're all part of that conversation. It's not a brown thing, it's not a white thing, it's all of us. It took me back to...
That's a pretty powerful thing to say.
Yeah, it's good to chuck on breakfast, eh?
Hard out. Like, truly though, that is, you know, not an uncommon experience as well.
Absolutely. And I think it just, it bears repeating that this is not an external problem, this is not an international problem, this is a problem we have here. And it's not one that is like far away as well. Racial discrimination is still happening now, and we're very close, you know, generationally and just time wise to really awful stuff that has happened. So important to remember.
Very important.
We must do better.
We must do better. Hey, thank you very much for those, Tim. We've had a few questions roll through just about the parliamentary stuff, which we will put to you, but if you need to think about it or research it, we can talk about it next week as
well. I'll tell you if I don't know. There's a lot I don't know. Could fill a warehouse, they say.
Someone's got a question about the Jacinda Aroha posters that are going up all over town. Apparently they're privately funded, but no call to action, no Labour graphics, colours or fonts, and they're not Labour Party members. Is that legal or not legal?
So
what's the deal?
My understanding is that they're going to come down before the day that kicks off the period of... I don't know the exact term. Terminology, but there's a period that kicks off of when official campaigning starts.
Right, okay.
And that's when the Electoral Commission's rules come into force.
Right.
They're pulling those posters, my understanding is they're pulling those posters down before that, and that's only in about a week from now, so you'll see them disappear. But as that person's pointed out, they're probably fine anyway because it's a... there's no call
private
to action, which I know is a big
part of
this. Yeah, that's what they really look for.
Well, that's very interesting. Thank you very much, Tim. We'll talk to you again next week.
A pleasure.
See you then.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.